Hey, listeners, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/ESO Network. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And it also helps support the station. And the first 30 days are free. That's right, I said free. So basically, you're getting a free download and a free 30-day membership. Hey, that's not bad. Check it out. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the premiere episode of the Earth Station 1 2014 Dragon Con Con Report. Dragon Con 2013 was about 5 months ago, and we were fortunate to spend it with about 57,000 of our closest friends.
Hi, everybody. We miss you.
Woo!
2014 is...
Where are my Christmas cards?
They're coming from the Shire.
2014 is only a little over 210 days away.
Oh my
which
God.
Sounds a lot like when you put it like that, you know, 200 and some, but it's really not.
But to a cosplayer, that's panic zone now.
And as we've mentioned many times on this show last year and previously, it's never too soon to prepare. It's also never too early to get excited about this year's Dragon Con. So this will be the first of Earth Station 1's monthly specials, counting down to the 2014 show. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew, starting off, of course, with ESO Director Mike Faber.
Can you believe it's been 5 months already? It just feels like it was yesterday.
You know, in some ways, it does feel like it was a long time ago.
I still have that taste of buckets of rum in my mouth still.
I wish I did. if you're still tasting it, you might want to see somebody about that.
Acid reflux there.
I don't know. You know, it's also never mind. That's Darren's territory.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't tread on me.
No, I'm not trying to.
We also have with us our Keep Calm Con reporter, Nikki Rao Baker. Welcome back, Nikki.
Thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's actually great to talk about Dragon Con because it feels like it makes it feel like it's even more like sooner, you know?
Yeah,
yes, know,
looking at the snowfall outside makes it feel sooner, Mike.
Well, yes, if I look outside, it doesn't feel like Dragon Con weather at all. But
Dragon Con is closer than Christmas, so there you go.
And as you just heard, we also have, certainly last but not least, Darren Noel is joining us once again. It wouldn't be the Dragon Con Report without you, sir.
Howdy. What's up?
What is up with you, sir?
Oh, nothing much. Looking forward to not working tomorrow because the city is apoplectic right now.
Yes. It's almost like it's Dragon Con again. The city is
shut
down.
Welcome to Hothlanta.
The city is shut down with people in winter cosplay costumes.
Pretty much. A lot of winter cosplay going on. A lot of Frozen. I hear we're going to get a lot of Frozen dresses at Dragon Con. Prepare, folks. If you've not seen Disney's Frozen, please go see it. No, I'm not paid by Disney to say that, but I think you're going to see a lot of Elsa and a lot of the Wood King from The Hobbit is what I'm hearing rumblings about. So,
I think one of the most popular ones is going to be is it pronounced Maleficent? Maleficent?
Maleficent.
Thank you.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie. But we always see a few of those at Dragon, but yeah,
I think
I believe those numbers are going to go up. Yeah,
I never realized until I went to Dragon Con that character would be so sexy too.
Oh yes, evil is sexy. Remember that, cosplayers. Evil is sexy.
Ever.
Yeah.
Later on in the show, we're going to chat with Kevin Batchelor. He's the host. He runs the Dragon Con for Newbies Facebook group. He's also a fellow podcaster, a great guy to have on. So we were excited to have him join us. And in our new cosplay snapshot segment, we're going to focus in this week on the Batastic Noah Drake Bell. So it's going to be great to talk to him. This Earth Station 1 special report is sponsored by the ESO Amazon eStore, where you can find all sorts of cool, geeky merchandise. If you're ordering something from Amazon, help ESO out by going through our link. It doesn't cost you any more, and it helps us out a lot. And, of course, we want to hear from you this year. We want to hear a lot of feedback. We have questions about Dragon Con, what you're going to cosplay as. We want all sorts of feedback. And you can reach us by either sending an email to us at esopodcast@gmail.com, reaching us on Facebook, or you can even call our ESO feedback line at 404-963-9057. All right. Now let's get started with some news and notes. I'm going to get some Dragon Con show details out of the way first and foremost. For those who are not familiar, Dragon Con is a convention that happens in Atlanta, Georgia. It is held this year, August 29th through September 1st in downtown Atlanta. It is not at a convention center. It takes over, officially it takes over five hotels.
It takes over every space we can get a hold of.
Exactly.
It's like a fungus, folks.
It's like anyone who says otherwise is lying.
It's like a snowstorm. It takes over. The official hotels are the Hyatt Regency, the Marriott Marquis, the Hilton Atlanta, the Sheraton Atlanta, and the Westin Peachtree Plaza Hotel. Membership for all 4 days is currently $85.
That will today.
Yes, that will increase to 100 on February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. It will be $100. So, we always encourage people to get your memberships early, because I think they started at 60, was it?
Yes, it was $60 when you got it at the con.
Yeah. And I think it was up through even December. It was around $60, $75, correct?
Yes, it was up to $75 right before Christmas.
It's going to increase to $100 on Valentine's Day, and then it's just going to keep going up from there. So if you think about going, you're pretty sure you're going, you want to get those tickets now. And my understanding is if you've already registered, you should have all received that magic postcard in the mail. So if you haven't received your postcard and you registered over the last four months, you might want to give them a call and confirm.
Sure.
So, and as far as the host hotels themselves go, if you're looking at staying at any of those hotels, good luck. Most of the hotels went up around, what was it, October?
October.
October. Yep. Actually, the first ones, one hotel was in September, then the other one was in October.
Yeah, there's a couple of hotels that do it that start selling or making those available like right after the con.
Correct.
I think that's the Sheraton and the Westin. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And then the other three go up at like 2 week intervals or something like that.
Exactly. And my God, is it a mad dash?
Yes.
It's not a mad dash. It's Hunger Games. Okay, let's call it what it is. It's blood sports, people.
Anyway. That's true. There's a trail of bodies in my wake, but I have three rooms.
See?
Three rooms. I do have
one. How
do you
get three? Jesus.
I can't tell you. I have to kill you.
One for her posse and one for her costumes.
Hey, I got to give a big shout out to Nikki for last year, because I was able to stay at the Marriott last year because of her. So thank you so much, because I was not fortunate enough to get hotels when they went, like crazy. So thank you for the hookup.
You're very
on that.
Welcome.
So, and wow. I love staying at the Marriott.
Mike,
really do.
You also have to remember, she does need a room for Darth Cooper. So.
Yes, I have to keep my baby tucked in nice and warm.
So we've all got places to stay. Are we all good that way?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are still plenty of rooms available in over, what do they call it? The
overflow hotels.
Overflow hotels, correct. My understanding is if you go to the official Dragon Con site, they've got some hotels that you can check out. Two other really good resources if you're looking for a place to stay is the Dragon Con Hotel Connection. That's on Facebook. And their group updates. I mean, they update quite a bit. I think throughout, you know, almost every other day, they're talking about something related to hotel availability. As well as you can also check out the Hotel Klingon, the Dragon Con Hotel Klingon. Her site's pretty good. She posts probably weekly about different rates that she's found online as well. So, and we'll have links to both of those in our show notes. So never fear, you can still get a place to stay.
That's good to know because it's scary how crowded it gets and how, you know, quickly the rooms went at the main hotels.
It is. I mean, it is really, that's amazing. And that's something you wouldn't even really think about. It's so big and, you know, there's five hotels and you're thinking, okay, well, there's no, you know, problem. I'm going to get a room for sure.
Have to realize these hotels are not just occupied by Dragon Con.
True. They're not the entire hotels that you have access to at that
time. No, because there's other room, you know, other blocks of rooms that are reserved for some people who are going to the football games or some of the other events that are happening in the Atlanta area that weekend, too.
And that weekend is very popular for events in Atlanta. Labor Day weekend is huge when it comes to various sporting events and other events.
So it gets scary, folks. And, you know, just as we like to say, you know, keep calm and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And the host hotels, you can keep trying them, too. Every once in a while, something pops open. So or
literally and figuratively. It's true.
or they release another block of rooms. So, that's something to look out for, too. But I would say that if you're interested in going to Dragon Con, first and foremost, you know, get your early membership rate and then figure out where you're going to stay and what you're going to do. As far as one of the options that I've seen online a lot, too, is being a volunteer because it's not too early to do that.
No,
I believe the first volunteer meeting is scheduled for March 29th.
Yeah, if you always said, you know, I got to help out. I want to become involved with Dragon Con somehow. You know, this is their best way to do it. A lot of the people who are running a lot of the tracks and such started off as volunteers.
That's true. They either volunteered for specific tracks. And please, if you're interested in volunteering at a track, you can seek out. Most of them are available on Facebook. So you can reach out and say, hey, I want to be involved this year. They love that. They really do. They almost every track there needs some assistance.
But if they hand you a red shirt, you might want to think twice.
Yeah, if that's the Star Trek track and they hand you a red shirt, you
just saying. Yeah.
But they're also looking for other, like the Dragon Con itself is looking for volunteers to help with admin things, the info booth. It can be things like, you know, picking people up from the airport, you know, some of the guests. Escorting them to the various functions that they have to do, as well as you know, security. They're looking for security people too. So that is a definite thing that you can find out about. You can find out all the information about the application form you have to fill out for a volunteer, as well as any sort of questions you need answered. You can go to the official Dragon Con site, click on I think it's Be a Volunteer, and boom. It's right there, all the other information that you need.
Yep, and Dragon Con has a really nifty looking website this year.
Yes.
Going for them. So, you know, it's better than that old clunky one they had for years and years and years. They actually finally came to the 21st century. And it's very easy to get around.
There's still time to apply if you want to be a guest. And there's still time to apply if you want to be a performer. So if you are thinking about attending as a guest in some form, or, you know, wanting to perform, you feel free to go to the website and fill out that information as well. Dragon Con is a little bit unique in the fact that they don't really go out and call people. There's a few of the big names that they actually contact and seek out, but really most of their guests are people who are submitting to be a guest at their website and go through the process. So if you're interested in doing that, the guest applications close. The date here says March 31st, but it also says guest applications close on June 30th. So there's a little bit of a mix up there. So I would not take it for granted that it's going to be June 30th. I would put that application in straight away. So, and speaking of guests, one person that is a guest is somebody that we have right on the show right now.
Darren, you became a guest?
And congratulations.
You know what? I've been trying to keep this secret for years now that I am an underground guest at Dragon Con. I insist on paying for my own badge. I know they want to give me a free badge, but no, I insist on contributing to the cause of dragons. So.
Exactly. You know, they even
I take
want
it
to
upon
give you a
myself
free-
to like pontificate in hotel corridors about, you know, how great Dragon is and skipping hither and yon from hotel to hotel. Being an ambassador of goodwill, if you will, to Klingon and Cardassian alike. So there you go.
Cardassian, not Kardashian.
Yes.
let's clarify.
There's a big difference.
Cardassian. Now, the similarities are striking. Let's just be honest about that, however.
One are reptilian looking and the other on Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
And if you are interested in being a underground guest to Dragon Con, I'm not sure when the deadline for that is. I would get your application for that in early as well, and they can be sent directly to Darren at via Facebook.
Yeah, I heard the audition process is kind of tough, though.
He goes through all of those very thoroughly.
You thought a chorus line was, you know, something to behold. Oh, no. You know.
But as far as the official guest that we have on the show this year, and actually,
well,
I am not I am not referring to myself. The official guest, director Mike Faber,
is
a guest this year at Dragon Con. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm still in shock that they actually accepted me. When I got the email, I thought, oh, okay, I got rejected as a guest this year. I'll be an attending professional. But nope, I am going to be a guest this year at Dragon Con.
And that's very cool. I know that that's something that you, I mean, from the day one, you probably were thinking of hoping to be a guest someday.
Of course. You know, everyone hopes to be a guest who applies. And it's just amazing because we have friends of ours who've already been declined from even being an attending professional.
And really? Yeah. It's a very strange process. Let's just put it that way.
And I guess my, you know, picture was on the dartboard and it got me right between the eyes or something.
You rolled a 20. Congratulations.
Yes, exactly. So cool. So yeah, I'm going to be a guest. I have no idea what I'm doing yet.
Tell us about some of the people that you're going to see in the green room.
I hope a ton of people, but you know, I don't even know if they're going to let me in with the buffet and stuff. We'll have to see. It should be fun though. And you know, that like there's like strange requirements and such, and you know, we'll talk about that as it goes along and everything. I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about and stuff. You know, I got this, they gave me the secret handshake and everything. So,
well, that's okay. We'll beat it out of you after we're done recording.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah. We need to know these things. So.
Of course.
So, sir, tell us about some of the other, your fellow guests that will be there as well that have been announced at this point.
Okay. It's fairly early still in that they've been rolling out guests announcements since late December already, which is pretty amazing, actually. You know, since Dragon Con was only a few months ago, they're already, you know, revving people up and such. Other than myself, you know, what else do you want, you know?
He's like, done.
You know, drops the mic. Who cares? I'm out of here.
Let's make the assumption that people might want more than Mike Faber.
Okay. All right.
Let's just take a shot in the dark on that
one. Darren, you want to help me with the list?
Yeah, I'll help you with the list. Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah, I'll go first.
I'll be right behind you.
Janie K. Spendlove. Janie K. Spendlove is KC-130 pilot for the U.S. Marine Corps. And in sci-fi fantasy, she's known for her best-selling trilogy, The War of the Seasons. It's pretty cool, actually.
That is. So we're reading up then. Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know how to pronounce this name. Sorry, y'all. Ksenia Solo currently stars as Kenzie in the hit series Lost Girl. There.
Zoe Palmer can currently be seen playing Dr. Lauren Lewis in the Showcase sci-fi hit series Lost Girl also.
And James A. Moore is the author of over 20 novels ranging from horror to urban fantasy and epic fantasy. His latest books include The Fantasy Seven Forges and Alien Sea of Sorrows.
Cool. Todd McCaffrey wrote his first science fiction story when he was 12 and has been writing on and off ever since.
And Rick Howland, or Holland, plays the role of Trick in Lost Girl. I can so relate to that. Moving on.
Okay. Dan DeSantos, I hope I pronounced that name right, well known for his colorful oil paintings, most often depicting strong women. DeSantos also wrote spans of a variety genres, including novels, comics, and film.
And Milton J. Davis is a sci-fi fantasy author and owner of MB Media, a publisher specializing in speculative fiction by and about color people of color.
Okay, Kevin J. Anderson is an international best-selling author with over 125 books published, best known for his Saga of Seven Sons series, Dan Champbell's Zombie PI, Star Wars, Dune, and other comics.
And Tracy Akers is the author of The Souls of Aridia. I have no idea if that was right. A multi-award-winning fantasy series. I'm sure someone will tell me, no, I was wrong, but move on.
It sounded really good, though.
Exactly.
Thank you. I was going for that. So.
Yes.
Lee Martindale, I wonder if he's related to Wink Martindale, is known for short stories, anthologies, edited by Marion Zimmer Bradley, Esther Friends, Diana Paxson, Robbie James, and others.
And I know that's actually Ms. Martindale.
Oh,
I know Lee, and she is a pistol. So if you get a chance to talk to her, it would be worth your while to do so, because she could tell you stories that would straighten anyway, let's go back down one. Lynn Abbey moved to Florida in 97, which she says is nice, but she misses snow. She's been called the godmother of shared universes for her part in creating Thieves World. She, CJ Cherish, and Jane Fancher run Closed Circle, an internet publishing house.
Alanka Dunin is a professional game developer, writer, and cryptographer, a leading expert on the world's most famous unsolved codes, such as cryptos, at CIA headquarters. She is also namesake for Nola Kyle, character in Dan Brown's best-selling novel, The Lost Symbol.
Wow. Keith R.A. DeCandido is the author of a gajillion novels, comics, blog entries, short fiction, and other stuff. Most recently, he wrote Star Trek, The Klingon Art of War.
I love Keith. I was on a panel with him last year, and it was really fun. So if you get a chance to see Keith at a panel, he's very entertaining.
Cool. Friend of the show, Debbie Vigay. She's the New York Times bestseller, author of the Wicked series and dozen other novels. She also has written thrillers, including the Psalm 23 Mysteries, the Witch Hunt Trilogy, and the Kiss Trilogy. And she's also the host of the 13th Hour here on the ESO Network.
And even though he's not listed, of course, with that, with Debbie, you also get Dr. Geek himself.
They're a match set.
Exactly. So,
they're like so, salt yes. and pepper.
Yin so, and yang.
Push it.
So, yes, be prepared to welcome Scott Vigay to the convention as well.
Of course.
Indeed. Samantha Summersby is the author of over 10 novels and novellas, including the critically acclaimed Forbidden series. She and Jean C. Stein, who collaborate under the pen name of S.J. Harper, also write the Fallen Siren series for Penguin U.S.
Okay, Gail Z. Martin wrote Ice Forge and Reign of Ash in 2014 in the Ascendant Kingdoms saga by Orbit, the Chronicles of the Neuromancer series by Solaris, the Fallen King Cycle by Orbit, and the new urban fantasy novel. It's very cool. Welcome to DragonCon.
Julie Kenner, a.k.a. Jay Kenner and J.K. Beck, is the New York Times, U.S. Today, Publishers Weekly, and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of over 40 novels. Praised by Publishers Weekly for her eccentric characterizations, J.K. writes in several genres, including paranormal romance and urban and suburban fantasy.
Cool. Les Johnson. Les is the author of the science fiction and popular science series and a NASA scientist. His recent novel, Rescue Mode, it came out in 2014, is a collaboration with Ben Bova. Les was featured Interstellar Explorer in the National Geographic magazine and a technical consultant for the movie Europa Report.
Laura Ann Gilman is the author of the 10 Cosa Nostradamus novels and the Nebula Award-nominated Weinart War trilogy, plus many short stories and novellas, most recently Miles to Go, Promises to Keep. Ms. Gilman also writes mysteries under the name L.A. Kornetsky.
We'll skip that next guy named Mike Faber.
Yeah, we know all about him.
Timothy Zahn will be there. Timothy is the author of 10 Star Wars books and the Cobra, Quadril, Dragonback series. Recent books included Judgment at Proteus, Cobra Slave, and Star Wars Scoundrels.
Sam Witner played Davis Bloom, the paramedic alter ego of Doomsday, Superman's nemesis on Smallville, and most recently can be seen in Being Human playing the vampire Aiden.
Cool. Tony Weisskopf. Tony is the publisher of Baden Books. With Joseph Sherman, she compiled and annotated the definitive volumes of subversive children folklore, Greasy, Grimy, Gopher Gruts, published by August House.
Jean Marie Ward writes fiction, nonfiction, and everything in between. Her credits include a multi-award-nominated novel, numerous short stories, and 2 popular art books.
Karen E. Taylor is the author of the popular Vampire Legacy series, a ghost novel, and numerous short stories, the collection of which earned a Bram Stoker Award nomination.
Megan Rath is a Canadian film and television actress. She has co-starred in the television series 15 Love, The Assistants, and currently is appearing in Being Human.
Cool. Rebecca Mosta has written the Young Jedi Knights series and the Crystal Doors trilogy with her husband Kevin J. Anderson. Oh, cool. She has also written comics and a Buffy the Vampire Slayer novel.
James Minns is senior editor and subsidiary rights director for Bain Books, the leading independent science fiction publisher in the United States of America.
Sam Huntington. Sam currently stars on the Sci-Fi Channel's critically acclaimed hit series, Being Human, where he plays a werewolf tortured soul, Josh.
Kristen Hager currently appears as werewolf Nora in Sci-Fi's Being Human. I'm getting a theme here that the cast of Being Human is going to be at Dragon Con. Anyone else? Okay.
And Lost Girl.
Yes.
Richard Lee Byers is the author of the 40 fantasy and horror books, including the urban fantasy Blind God's Bluff, the volumes of superhero series The Imposter, and The Reaver.
Tom Zahler is the writer and artist of the fan favorite Love and Capes, as well as My Little Pony, and other projects.
Oh, God, they let this guy in.
Jesus!
I know.
I complained to Dan Carroll about this guy.
I know. Bobby Nash, the 2013 Pulp Award winning best author. Bobby Nash writes a little bit of everything, including novels, comic books, short prose, graphic novels, screenplays, media tie-ins, and more.
Dirty limericks, things like that.
Does he ever? That's what he does while he's doing ESO. What do you mean?
After he's had a few
bathroom walls, and you know, you might actually see him in the background of some TV shows and some films too, I hear. Dr. Sarah Milkovich works at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory as a scientist and an engineer. She's worked on the operation teams for many spacecraft, including the Curiosity rover, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, Mars Phoenix, the Cassini, and is on the development team for the 2020 Mars rover.
Micah McKinnon is a scientist for fiction, bringing plausible to our screen heroes. While not lurking aboard sets, she is a disaster researcher, impressible educator, and field geophysicist.
Dr. Aaron McDonald is a postdoc researcher at Cardiff University who focuses on gravitational wave detection as part of the LIGO scientific collaboration. She also is involved in science outreach and events and loves surprising children by being a young, heavily tattooed scientist.
Astronomer Bill Keel is the author of The Sky at Einstein's Feet and The Road to Galaxy Formation, has appeared at Dragon Con since 2004. He hosts the annual overnight live astronomy sessions, which are quite interesting. I've actually been to one of those. And speaks on cosmology, extrasolar planets, citizen discovery in astronomy, science in Firefly and the Avatar universe, space technology, and astrophomical tourism.
Kamui, a.k.a. Svetlana Quint, is a talented costume and prop designer from Germany. She is widely known for her impressive armor projects from World of Warcraft, Diablo, and StarCraft. But moreover, because of her passion for sharing her self-taught knowledge with the cosplay community all over the world. Sounds like she'll be in the costuming track. And I'm going to beat you to this one, Waver. Faber, I'm going to do this next one because I had a crush on this guy back when I was a kid. And I was so happy when he came out of the closet. Wesley Urey starred in Land of the Lost, Days of Our Lives, and hosted Nickelodeon's number one game show, Finders Keepers. He is the co-creator of PBS's Dragon Tales and starred in Chomps and Toolbox Murders. And he has also authored 5 books.
Cool. We also have
Will.
Yep. And Holly's on it also. Mm-hmm. Kathy Coleman. Kathy Coleman starred as Holly Marshall in the NBC series Land of the Lost. The show was number one for 3 years on Saturday mornings. I always liked the pigtails.
Freddie Clements is a professor of drama and faculty costume designer at Jacksonville State University in Jacksonville, Alabama. Not Florida, Alabama. He has taught courses in costume design, costume construction, stage makeup, and advanced stage makeup.
Cool. We also had James Burns, known for his long-running Grumbles comic strip. Burns also produces autobiographical comics as well as other genes.
Jenny Breeden is the creator of the webcomic The Devil's Panties, a daily journal comic that she started in 2001.
Kat Zong is the author of The Hybrid Chronicles, a young adult trilogy published by HarperCollins. She sold the books about an alternate universe where everyone is born with 2 souls when she was 19.
Hmm. Kim Stedman is a tactical activity planner and sequence integration engineer for the Mars Exploration Rover Opportunity and a flight systems engineer for the Cassini-Huygens mission to Saturn in NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Cool. Dean Motter, artist, writer, designer, commemorates the 30th anniversary of Mr. X this year with the miniseries Raised Expectations, a Christmas special, and a poster book. Recently, he created works for Batman Black and White, Wolverine, The Spirit, The Shadow, and the award-winning film noir graphic novel Batman, 9 Lives.
Jonathan Mayberry is a New York Times bestselling author, multiple Bram Stoker Award winner, and writer for Marvel, Dark Horse, and IDW Comics.
Jonathan LeCraft is a senior game designer at Blizzard Entertainment with nearly 15 years of design experience in MMOs and RPGs. For the last 9 years, he has worked on World of Warcraft, pouring its passions into nearly every aspect of the game.
S.M. Sterling was born in France, raised in Europe, North America, and Africa. His first novel, Snow Brother, was published in 1984. His latest work, The Golden Princess, is out in September 2014.
Alan M. Steele is a Hugo Award-winning science fiction writer, the author of 19 novels and nearly 100 works of short fiction, and his books and stories have been published worldwide and have gained praise for readers and critics alike. He is best known for his novel Coyote and its sequels.
Catherine Kurtz's first novel, Der Yerni Rising, was the first original fantasy published after the success of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy and helped establish the modern fantasy genre. The Der Yerni series now extends to nearly 20 novels.
Faith Hunter writes best-selling dark urban fantasies. Skinwalker series features Jane Yellowrock. The series features Skinwalker Blood Crosses, Mercy Blade, Raven Cursed, Death's Rival, Blood Trader, and Broken Soul.
Christopher Golden is the New York Times bestselling author of such novels as Snowblind and Strangewood, editor of anthologies including Dark Duets, and writer or co-writer of comics including Baltimore Sons of Anarchy and, with Charlene Harris, Cemetery Girl, Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough. A professional writer for 45 years, Yarbrough has sold more than 90 books and 75 works of shorter fiction. She's been awarded 4 awards for her body of work. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. Mark Van Name is a science fiction novelist with 5 novels out to date, a stand-up spoken word performer, and the CEO of a technology marketing company. He has a lot of hats on him. Let's see here. Jonathan Bradley Strickland is a technology journalist, futurist, and web series host for Discovery and How Stuff Works.
Okay, Andy Rutten. Andy is the creator of the breakout all-ages series of graphic novel, Owlie, starring the little owl who's always searching for new friends, relying on a mixture of symbols and expressions to tell his silent stories. Rutten's heartwarming style has made him a favorite for both fans and critics alike. One of William's favorite growing up, actually.
Oh, sweet. John Picaccio, I'm sorry if that's wrong, is a 2-time Hugo Award-winning illustrator of sci-fi and fantasy. Over the last decade, he has become one of the most prolific American cover artist in science fiction and fantasy. He is the founder of Lone Boy and is currently re-engineering the Mexican game of chance called Loteria.
Pamela Diane Nance is an archaeologist and anthropologist, research scientist, and paranormal investigator. She has business partner Ashley Field formed Spirit Hunters of the South, LLC, in 2008. Along with her role of investigation, Pamela also manages public relations and media of the team.
Thomas Kubler sculpts hyper-realistic silicone figures. Wow. Patrick J. Jones is this year's artist guest of honor. Mr. Jones is from the Brisbane of Australia. He has worked for publishers and film companies worldwide, painting covers for Simon R. Green, Mary Shelley, and Bram Stoker. He has created concept work for many movies. Kevin Hearn is the New York Times bestselling author of The Iron Druid Chronicles. His seventh book, Shattered, was published in June. Michael C. Hayes is an oil painter working as a fantasy artist. Ashley Field resides in Georgia and is a partner of Spirit Hunters of the South. She brings over 30 years of paranormal experience to the partnership. She collaborated to develop an investigative methodology based on principles of archaeology and anthropology. Jamie Tyndall is a Canadian comic book artist known for his depictions of sexy, strong female characters, favoring a detailed style. He has made an impression with his covers for Xenoscope Entertainment and numerous commissions. Jamie is also known for parody covers showcasing comic heroines on mainstream and fictional magazines. Kyle Hebert is an LA-based voice actor, best known for his work in Wreck-It Ralph, Street Fighter, which he played Ryu, Dragon Ball Z, where he was Gohan, Bleach as Aizen, League of Legends, Ezreal, Jarvan, and Graves, and in Naruto, he is Kiba. Tim Sale is an American Eisner Award-winning comic book artist. He is primarily known for his collaborations with writer Jeff Loeb. Andrew Robinson started his comics career at Dark Horse Comics. From then on, he's working for every major comic publisher and gaming company. His creator-owned Dusty Star will see a new life once he finishes the fifth Beetle, currently at Dark Horse Comics. Sharon Morgan is the owner of Altered Time Corsets, that's Time, T-Y-M-E, and a corset maker with Romantasy Exquisite Corsetry. She is one of the foremost experts on modern corsetry and is currently the costume studio supervisor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Mari Mancusi is a best-selling author of young adult and adult fantasy, paranormal, and horror fiction, and a former Emmy Award-winning TV producer. Her latest series, Scorched, has been dubbed by critics as Terminator with Dragons. She lives in Austin, Texas.
Okay, I could do the next one.
Okay.
Dr. Kilgard is an astrophysicist who researches black holes in nearby galaxies with an emphasis on incredible mass black holes and enigmatic class of objects whose origins are unclear.
Dave the Reverend Johnson is a comic book artist best known for his work on the covers for the title of 100 Bullets.
Chance Chancellor has been a leather artist for 10 and a leather instructor for 8 years. Since starting his career in Atlanta, Georgia, he's taught well over 1,800 hours of leather classes. His areas of expertise encompass everything from design and construction of leather accessories through professional consultation and custom costume design.
Michael Z. Williamson is a Locus best-selling science fiction author with 14 books in print as editor-at-large for Survival Blog. His columns and product reviews reach over 300,000 readers each week. He has consulted on weapons and military matters for Discovery Network and National Geographic Productions and made multiple appearances on the Outdoor Channel speaking on disaster preparedness.
Romley is an MMO gamer, solely software analyst, Machinima, director, producer, and voice actor. She has been presenting Machinima at DragonCon annually since 2006.
All right, now here's a retro guest that I'm looking forward to at least seeing. Mr. Ron Glass is best known for his roles as the witty detective Ron Harris in the television sitcom Barney Miller and as the spiritual shepherd Duriel Book in series Firefly and its sequel film Serenity.
And a friend of the show and part of the ESO network is represented again with Van Allen Plexico. Van is best known for his groundbreaking number one new pulp bestseller Sentinel superhero novel series for his assembled books about Marvel's Avengers. He is the author of 12 novels as well as many nonfiction works, award-winning short stories and novellas.
And the last guest that they've announced so far, we've had on the show for DragonCon preparedness before, I believe. Mr. Ken Spivey is a musician, songwriter, professional MC, convention organizer, and Doctor Who aficionado. Ken runs the largest Doctor Who convention in Florida called Time Lord Fest and plays in the world-famous MTV.com praised Victorian steampunk Time Lord rock band called the Ken Spivey Band.
And there that's our guest for the poof.
Phew.
Okay.
Well done. Thank you guys for that exhaustive list of already announced guests. That's pretty amazing.
But there be more, right?
Oh, yeah. They haven't even gotten to the big names yet, right? So
I know.
I'm very proud that out of the guest list so far, we on the ESO Network have Mike Faber, we have Debbie Vigay and Van Allen Plexico, and of course Scott Vigay is going to be there as well. So four of our podcast network friends are guests of the network as well, and that's just great to hear. They're great people. They're entertaining. They'll be on tons of panels, and I definitely encourage people to seek them out because they're just good folks. And listen to their shows in the meantime because they're just excited about Dragon Con as we are.
It's true, they are.
So, very cool. Well, now it's time in the show to go to our Keep Calm Con reporter, Nikki Raubaker. Nikki, what do you got for us in this premiere episode?
Well, I'm just going to go over a few basics. So the purpose of the Keep Calm and Go to Con report is to get you prepared, give you some good information, whether you're a new con goer to Dragon Con or if you've been going for 10, 15 years, like some of my friends have. So I'm basically just going to discuss the topics that we're going to go over because right now we don't have too much in the way of this is what you need to do. You guys know what you need to do, you know, book hotels, buy tickets, things like that. Excuse me. So the things that we're going to discuss in the upcoming episodes will be overflow hotel lists, con etiquette, the do's and don'ts of things like asking somebody for a photo. Is it okay to approach an actor or actress if they're out at a restaurant? Things like that. Making alternate plans for panels that you might not be able to get into. Because as we know, the show gets bigger and bigger every year. More and more people show up, which is great for us overall. But it can kind of put a crimp in your plans if you are in line for 3 hours for a Lost Girl panel and you know that everybody and their brother is there too, you may not be able to get in. So we're going to discuss things like having backup plans. Some of the other things that we're going to talk about, costume group photo shoots. And I believe that some of our guests later on the show are going to talk a little bit about that too, about setting up group photo shoots. So that's basically what I wanted to talk about on this episode is some of the things that you guys can look forward to in future episodes. And if there's something specific that you want me to research on or that you want me to discuss, you can find me on Twitter at Nikki71, or you can also find me on Facebook at Geek Behind the Lens. So just a short one for you guys this week. Or this month, sorry.
Yeah, that's true. But yes, just a teaser, right?
Exactly.
Teaser.
And all those are great topics. And I know we've talked about some of those before, but there's of course we're going to have new listeners this year as well, and so some of these things do need to be repeated. And there's other information that's come out about a lot of those topics. And I know specifically the one about con etiquette. You know that one. You know you could make a whole monthly podcast about just that.
And we should.
especially
with the. You know, it seems like, it's become, I don't want to say controversial, but certainly with a lot of the female cosplayers and some of the males too, have been, making a lot of, I don't want to say news, but, there's been a lot of, things that have come out about behavior at cons that has been, actually pretty reprehensible. And, certainly, you know, it's a good idea on how to avoid that, but also, you know, I think that also intimidates other people too. I mean, when they read about some of that going on, some of that might stop them from, you know, wanting to introduce themselves or even ask for a picture from a cosplayer.
Right, and that's some of the stuff that we're going to talk about as we move forward leading up to the show is when is it okay to ask for a photo, when is it not okay to ask for a photo, What are the guidelines for posting that person's photo? And what are the guidelines of, on the opposite side of that? What are the guidelines for somebody who finds a photo that you've taken and it's kind of shared property at that point? What sort of things do you guys need to work out as far as being able to post that photo on a page? So that's some of the stuff that we're going to get into a little bit more. Because as you guys may know, I do like to do photography. So that's something that I'll be talking a little bit more about is, you know, the rights of the photographer and the rights of the person that you're taking the photo of. And it's a shared responsibility.
You are not only our reporter, but our photographer as well. So you're like Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen combined.
Squished into one body.
You can call me Lois Olsen or Jimmy Lane.
I won't be doing that, no.
Darn it.
Sorry.
Oh, all right.
Well, very cool. Well, I know from a lot of feedback that we've gotten on past episodes that your reports are very well received, so we are definitely glad to have you with us this year as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again. And like I said, if there's anything that you guys want me to cover, if any of the listeners have a specific thing that you say, hey, I'm not really sure about blank, you know, I'm not really sure about where I can get my weapons checked to make sure that they're piece bonded correctly. Those are some of the things that we're going to discuss leading up to the show. So keep listening. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us and you can find us online, ESO Podcast.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, in addition to Nikki's segment, we've got a couple of other segments that we're introducing this year as well to the show. One of the things that we're going to spotlight are tips and suggestions and ideas for newbies with the convention growing more and more. Last year, again, it was reported that there were over 57,000 people at Dragon Con, and anybody who was there can tell you that it felt like there was twice as many.
it was twice as many. I don't know where you're getting that number from, but wow.
That's the official number.
Yeah. I know.
With that many people coming and attending, and certainly I would expect even more this year, there's a lot of newbies. In some cases, even more so because, you know, with the bigger crowds, obviously that's going to turn off some people that have been going for a while too, as we well know. So there's even more room for more people coming for the first time. So, if it is your first time coming, there's a guy who does a, Facebook group, and as well as he has, his own podcast, he's done episodes called, Declassifying Dragon Con, and, his name is Kevin Batchelor, and we are happy to have him on the station now. And now we have with us, we're very happy to have with us, Mr. Kevin Batchelder, who is the host of, actually, you have your own podcast, but you basically, I know you because you're the main guy behind the Dragon Con for Newbies Facebook group. Welcome to the station, Kevin.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Always enjoyed your podcast. You guys have probably as many or more than I do, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, and then, yeah, that's how I think I originally became aware of you, because you were actually doing a sort of Dragon Con for Newbies podcast as well, right?
Yes, I did. I did one called Debriefing Dragon Con.
Nice, yes. I like that title. That was very good.
Yeah, kind of just shoot from the hip thoughts and things that newer attendees might find helpful, kind of general info about the con, you know, just, you know, 10-minute ones. So, summer before last, I threw out several of them just to kind of help folks get their bearings.
Well, with the the exploding attendance rate, there's more newbies there every year, so you have your work cut out for you, I'm sure.
as you folks know from being longtime attendees too, it's getting more popular, more well known, so more folks are coming in to try it out. And as you know, this is not the con that you probably want to make your first con at unless you've had some good prep coming in.
Well, let's go to your experiences first. When was your first Dragon Con?
I've been going annually since 2005.
Okay.
So about the last 10 years worth myself.
Okay. Very nice. So just about the same time I've been going.
Right? Oh, cool.
So we've been going right about the same, because I started off slowly. I, you know, like did the parade first and then said, okay, we did the parade. Let's try going in next time.
You dipped your toe in.
Exactly. It's like, you know, going in on the baby side of the pool and then slowly wading in.
I had heard about the con for several years before that. You know, I had an idea what it was, but I'm up Boston area, so it was a pretty good hike. I wasn't sure if it, you know, expense and so forth. So, but then I got involved in podcasting early in 2005, and a couple of people I was doing the Firefly podcast. We were doing the Signal.
Oh sure, and, of course.
So yeah, myself and the host there, Les and Carrie, wanted to come down because there was a big, naturally, brown coat presence with Serenity coming out that summer. And so I said, oh, I finally have a reason. What the heck? Let's go. And those were the only people and a couple of other podcasters, Derek and Swoopy, Mike at Slice of Sci-Fi, that I like. I'd never talked directly to any of these people, but I had talked online with them. So when I went there, I was just totally deer in the headlights.
That is a frequent look at DragonCon.
Yeah, so I remembered what it was like, and that's what's kind of sparked me over the last couple of years to start doing some resources for newbies to kind of help ease folks into the con.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, had you had experiences going to a lot of other types of conventions prior to DragonCon?
I wouldn't say a lot, but no, I've been to a few up here in the Boston area, you know, even way back, you know, 70s, early 80s, some of those Star Trek, I don't know if you call it a convention, but some of the Star Trek things up around here to see.
Were they the old creation ones, or were they...
No, this is even probably pre-creation. This was probably more, I don't even know if you'd really call it a convention. It was more like a trade show. You know, they were selling lots of stuff. They might have had one or two actors from a sci-fi show. Those were probably some of my first experiences before getting to a couple of organized cons.
Yeah, I grew up actually in Massachusetts as well. And I must say that the convention experience elsewhere when I moved out of the state was very like different for me because they didn't really have a lot of shows, at least for like this type of show when I was growing up. And then, of course, there's nothing really like Dragon Con. So once I moved to Atlanta and experienced my first Dragon Con, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And that was... You know, that was over 20 years ago. So it's even gotten, you know, even more crazy and more, you know, more everything since then. So what's, tell us about some of your experiences at Dragon Con, some of your favorite moments.
Oh, wow. It's been so much fun. We've done over the years now, as I said, you know, kind of being a podcaster, naturally, I got very involved in the podcasting track and spoke on a few panels. We recorded some live podcasts for things like The Signal and The Scapecast, The Seekercast, a few other podcasts I've done. So I'm someone who was, you know, that shy kid in the back row in school. I never wanted to be in front of a crowd. But once I started doing podcasts and found other geeks and like-minded people, all of a sudden you couldn't shut me up. So it's been a lot of fun getting involved in usually 8 to 10 panels a year I speak on too. So it's great just meeting new people and interacting with them at con. It's just been a blast. It's exciting. It's scary all at once. And, you know, everything related to that. It's just, and you said a little earlier, it's really the energy at Dragon Con. The excitement is just, no disrespect to any other convention. I've had a lot of fun at others. It's just so unique. I just absolutely love it and thrive on it. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I just love going from early morning to late at night, you know, whether it's on panels or podcasts or you know, meeting people. It's just such a blast.
And what we always like to say, what happens at Dragon Con stays at Dragon Con.
Well, it depends. The Nets, like, kind of ruined that.
Yeah, good point. We now have pictures of blackmail for Darren, so it's okay.
I remember a couple of maybe fairly early second, third year The Signal was, you know, really growing as a Firefly podcast. The Parsec Awards had started up, and we won a Parsec for Best Fan Podcast and went to one of the after parties, you know, 2, 3 in the morning. And it was really cool hanging around a bunch of other podcasters I'd listened to for years. And I had this woman come up to me, and she literally, you know, very attractive woman, was very nice, came up and very politely said, "I'd like you to sign my pants." And I wasn't sure how to take that or what to do. And then she pulled out a pair of jeans, not the one she was wearing.
Oh, okay.
And apparently she was having all the podcasters she knew sign this pair of blue jeans. But I got to tell you, for a half second there, I was speechless.
Well, and at Dragon Con, you just don't know.
No, that's the thing. I had no idea where that was going to go. So I just, you know, learned to pause, to be careful what you say.
She had podcasting pants.
So when did start deciding to, like, start passing your knowledge on to newbies and such?
I was probably a little over two years ago, maybe three. I had a few folks, you know, like most of you guys, you're on your podcasts. Some listeners say, "Oh, Con sounds interesting. Do you, you know, mind answering a few questions?" So I'd be firing an email back and forth, whatever. And then one year, I think it was maybe 2011, 2012, early in the spring, and there were like four or five folks. And I'm like, "Okay, this doing this one at a time isn't working. How about I start a Facebook group and I'll put all you folks in there, and that way we can kind of help each other. And if I throw out some info, you'll all see it." And literally, it just mushroomed from there. You know, they shared with their friends. I mentioned to a few more. And then pretty soon, you know, the group's up to about 800 people with a few of the track directors and some of the DragonCon staff. So it's a great resource now. And it's I kind of herd some cats because, I mean, at this point, it's a lot of other folks helping out as much as I do.
That's awesome.
What are some of the things that you find that are some of the best things, best suggestions that you have for newbies, particularly, you know, this early?
Yeah, if we're talking this far out before Con, I mean, obviously your big things now, one is going to be lodging. Where are you going to stay? Longtime folks know the official hotels, those rooms, you know, were gone last fall. So are you going to be rooming up with someone? Are you looking for your own space, you know, personality type? Do you need your own room? Are you okay staying with, you know, eight other people or two other people? So starting to learn a little bit about that and maybe look to buy your membership if you're sure you're going, you know, so you don't have, sooner you buy it, the less it costs you if you're sure you're coming. So that and maybe trying to line up a few other friends if you're going for the first time. And if it's people there, you know, great, because you can, you know, a lot of folks like us can talk to them. If you don't, now's a good time, maybe online or whatever, to start maybe trying to strike up a friendship or such. Because as you know, Con is so much more fun if you've got a group of people you can hang with.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And of course, the opportunity is there to meet tons more people. So.
Oh, it is. It is. It's just that total overwhelm when you first get there and realize how many people are in such a small, concentrated area. It's a little overwhelming, you know, folks who've done other cons. Well, it's this one hotel. I just have to learn that layout, or it's this one convention center. No, actually, we got five hotels, multiple floors, you know, multiple walkways, elevators, staircases, you know, trying
exactly.
to get your
little shortcuts and stuff you have to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we did last year for the DragonCon report was that we put a YouTube video that we recorded a couple months earlier when we walked through the hotels and such.
Mm-hmm. When they were empty.
When they were empty, exactly.
Very odd feeling, isn't it, guys?
Oh, it's like what we said. We felt the ghost of DragonCon past. It still had the odor of some Klingons, but it was okay.
Yeah. No, and that's part of what, you know, trying to get your bearings, as you all know, is difficult, whether it's even when they're big and empty or when there's a lot of people. So yeah, just trying to prep folks, too, with a little bit that, yeah, you will be a little overwhelmed. It's okay. You will be a little lost. It's okay. For the most part, you've got a great community. People will kind of recognize that deer in the headlights. If you got a question, like I said, and most of you I'm sure the same way, that first year or two I was lost. There's a lot of folks, I'll never remember their names, but they were a huge help to me. So we're just paying it forward at this point.
Very well said. And also not to be, you know, to sort of determine what specifically, maybe a handful of things that you definitely want to do, want to see, want to, you know, whether it's autographs, panels, whatnot, and then sort of have a pretty good idea of other things you want to do, but be really flexible because there's a lot of things that you're not going to be able to do at all.
No, and that is, again, another thing that tends to come up in a lot of the conversations is, oh, yeah, I'm going to plan on my day. I'm going to do these 11 things, and then I'm going to do this. And yeah, you know, you chuckle for the longtime attendees going, okay, what's the bet? Is it going to be Saturday midday or Sunday morning when this person's head explodes? Because you have to pace yourself. You're just not going to be able to do everything. I mean, when you look at a time slot and you've got potentially 25 different things happening, you know, maybe five of which you think are the coolest thing in the world and you have to make a choice. And sometimes it's just, okay, which one of these is the closest? Because I'm dog tired and I won't make it.
Well, a lot of the things we tell people is make yourself a schedule, but don't do it too tight, like back-to-back-to-back stuff, because you'll never make it.
Yeah. And you know what's still?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say the other thing, and tell me if you guys don't hear this too. It's amazing how often I say, and also build in time to eat. Oh, good idea. Like, people don't even plan that.
We always tell people, leave time to eat. Leave time to rest for a little bit.
Decompress.
Exactly.
Yes.
We also tell people, bring deodorant with them, you know.
hydrate.
Yes. I've seen people pass out at Dragon Con from dehydration.
Yeah. And boy, you got to start getting your comfy shoes, start doing some walking by the middle of the summer, because you have no idea how much walking you're going to do until you get there.
Exactly. Treadmill will become your best friend before Dragon Con.
Yeah. I mean, and like we say, you don't have to be in shape, but you do have to be in walking shape if you're going to be able to experience as much as you want to.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting because there's so much that people, you know, think, oh, I've been to the Little Atlanta Comic Con, or I've been to this con, or I've been to this. You know, I can handle Dragon Con. No.
No.
Even San Diego is a completely different beast.
Yeah, they're all different animals. And it's, you know, it doesn't mean you can't do it all or as much as you want to do. But like you guys said, you do have to learn to pace it. You do have to learn to just get a feel for the culture of it because, again, the spread out nature, too, to kind of understand, you know, what's worth the time, how much time to build in between. And also, you make your own con. If you're the type who wants to go see all 400 of those celebrities that are there, go for it. If you'd rather hit all the all-night parties, go for it. If you'd rather be at the fan panels, you know, debating the ending of Lost or whatever it might be, you know, you get to do that. So you get to program your own con. So a little bit of planning goes a long way. But like you said, do it in pencil and realize that it could change day to day.
Now, basically, you have to think about your schedule being a giant echo sketch. You know, you just shake it up because that's what's going to happen. Because you don't know what kind of people you're going to meet. You might meet friends, you know, that you knew from high school, or friends that you're meeting for the first time, but you want to hang out with them instead of going to see a panel or a discussion group or something.
Oh, absolutely. That's just what it is. And you know, you run into the same person attending the same panels by the end of the first day and, you know, strike up a discussion or a conversation. And like you said, you might have a new best bestie. Bud to work from.
Yeah.
And also the other thing too, a lot of times we tell folks fairly early on is don't expect that you're going to be able to, like at a standard get together, call someone to talk about your plans. You're going to have like almost no cell service. It's going to be too loud. Too many geeks all in one concentrated area, so you're lucky if you can get a text message through here or there. So, you know,
no matter who your carrier is, you're not going to be able to get.
So, you know, plan a meetup time or, you know, again, if you don't already have texting on whatever your phone is, you're probably going to want it because that's by far your best shot at getting through to each other.
Now, this will be, you're coming up on your 10th, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Decade.
Decade, yeah.
Decade of Dragon Con. Is there anything that you've noticed that sort of changed, either for the good or the bad, over the last 10 years?
Well, kind of, we mentioned it earlier. There are a lot more newbies kind of coming in, even more so than a few years ago. A lot of folks, I think, are sampling and trying the con. So moving around at the con, I think, is getting harder. A, because yes, there are more people, but I also think there are more newer people, and most newer people are just awestruck by the costuming and everything else, so they tend to stop in the middle of hallways, and we all know that's a sin for any longtime attendee. So getting between things is getting a little harder year by year, and I think part of it is because you have a lot of folks who aren't used to you know, putting your head down, knowing the shortcuts, or yes, you actually can go outside during the day to move around between things.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we're going to talk during our show and as we go, little secrets that we've learned over the years. And, you know, hopefully, you know, over this time, we could, you know, over the next couple of months, we can have you back to talk about other, you know, hints and such for newbies and such.
Oh, absolutely. Love to. We're looking, some of the folks in the newbies group are, we're discussing now potentially setting up maybe some, group conference calls or something for some newbies, a little Q&A. So certainly maybe have you guys involved in being the, doing my air quotes here, some experts or experienced folks to answer questions to kind of get the community ready to get everything, you know, as much as possible, I should say, out ahead of time.
Exactly.
Well, how can people reach you guys online?
Well, if they're interested in, if they're on Facebook in that group we mentioned, if you just do a search within Facebook for Dragon Con Newbies, it'll probably pop up. Or it's at facebook.com/group/DragonConNewbies. And that'll get you a shot right there to be able to join the group. It is private in the sense that you won't be able to see the posts. We are very newbie friendly, so we let folks know that any question is fine. No talking down to folks. I know sometimes folks can feel a little intimidated in large groups or feeling like they're the only one who doesn't know, but we purposely say the only thing that you have to have is an interest in wanting to have the best con possible, and whether you're a longtime attendee or brand new to con, you're welcome in the group as long as you're always respecting folks' opportunity to learn.
Awesome, awesome. And I know you do have other interests as well, do other things. What where can other people, or can people find you, your other projects online?
Oh, yeah, sure. Do several podcasts. Almost all of them come off our main website at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com. We cover sci-fi and genre shows, several podcasts a week, and also some B-movie reviews and other specific shows. So everything kind of leads off of there.
Very cool. Very cool. Anything coming up that you're excited about?
Just having some fun now, starting to prep. One of the things I do at Con the last several years is I host the Sci-Fi Saturday Night Drive-In, where we screen a B-movie, myself and Joe Crow, who's the director of the American Sci-Fi Classics track. We do a little bit of MST3TK style, you know, riffing on a B-movie. So I'm having to look through and start to plan to see what title we might show this year. It's been a great event that's that keep moving us up to bigger rooms. So we have a lot of fun every year.
That sounds awesome. We love Joe.
Yeah, Joe is one of the cool guys. He's been on my podcast, and he and I have a blast. We did Sharktopus a couple years ago, then Megapython versus Gatoroid, and then most recently we did Super Shark. And it's great. It ends up being standing room only, and we throw out some zingers and let the crowd get into it, and then usually try to get some giveaways and stuff, so it's a blast.
Well, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the station for our premiere episode of the 2014 Dragon Con Report. It's been great having you on, Kevin.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing you folks in not too long a time.
I know. It'll be here before we know it, right?
Absolutely. Going fast.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Kevin. We enjoyed talking to you, and hopefully we will have you join us for some future episodes to have some more suggestions for people who are experiencing this wonderful show for the first time. And also, another segment that we've got that we're starting this year is we've decided to take a look at some of the people who take the time to dress up at Dragon Con. And yes, there's no way that that we're going to be able to even reach half these people, but we thought we'd focus on a few that we could before the show and see how they're going as far as making their costumes and all that. And it's a segment we like to call the Cosplay Snapshot. And for our first Cosplay Snapshot of this year, 2014, we are focusing on the cosplayer Noah Drake Bell. Now it's time for a new segment that we've got on the Dragon Con Reports this year. We're calling it the Cosplay Snapshot, where we focus in on a particular cosplayer, costumer, that frequents Dragon Con. And we are very pleased to be joined with us on this first episode, or this first installment, by Noah Drake Bell. Welcome to the station, Noah.
Thank you very much. I'm even more pleased and honored to be a part of this segment, this first segment here.
So how long have you been, well, we'll start with the costuming. How long have you been costuming?
Okay, well, like most people would say, you know, Halloween influenced all their costuming and stuff, and I was born about 3 days before Halloween on October 28th, so I've always been in the whole thing, but my first con was in 2007. We went up to Chicago for Wizard World. I'd always been a comic book geek all my life and loved Wizard Magazine and jumped to the chance. I didn't even know Dragon Con existed at this point. And we went up there. I didn't costume for that, but I saw tons of costumers, cosplayers, and I was like, I have to do this. So in between 2007 and 2008, of course, The Dark Knight Rises came out. And like one of a bajillion people, I decided to do the Dark Knight Joker costume, the Heath Ledger famous costume that everyone does. Sure. I did that and took it to Dragon Con. I had no idea that any costuming boards or forums or anything like that existed. But once I that was my first con actually cosplaying and stayed in character the whole time. It's before I even knew what cosplay was officially. So I had a ball there at Dragon Con as the Joker. People asked me, you know, why so serious about 1,000,000,000 times. And it was fun. You know, it was at that point, too, Dragon Con was still sort of it wasn't quite what it is today. I mean, I would say probably 30,000 people or whatnot, but it was really sort of an eye-opening experience to me, and I've been doing it ever since, and now I take maybe two or three, four costumes to Dragon Con each time after that first time. So,
so what year was your first Dragon Con?
2008. Okay, cool. Yeah.
And you've been going ever since?
Ever since. I've not missed a year ever since, yeah.
Awesome. So, and so what is it about Dragon Con that makes you keep coming back?
I love telling people about Dragon Con. The best part is I didn't have, some people say, you know, they got into costuming and became a geek and that kind of stuff. Maybe they were bullied in their life. I never really was, but I'm from such a small town that, you know, there was hardly anybody to talk comic books with, certainly not costuming and, you know, maybe at Halloween, sure, but people just bought something from the store, you know, from Walmart or something and went out in that. But when I went to Dragon Con for the first time, just when I've never felt so welcomed to somewhere in my entire life. It's almost like some people describe it as coming home and a second family, and I totally get that. And I've been to big crowd events. Crowds don't bother me. You know, I've been to big concerts, you know, football games, baseball games, but the whole of most of the years I've went to Dragon Con, you can walk through a crowd of people, and let's say you accidentally bump into somebody, they are apologizing to you. It's like a camaraderie. I've never even seen a fight at Dragon Con in all the years, and there's like a lot of alcohol, as most people know, but I've still never seen a fight, seriously, a fist fight or a shove or a punch thrown. I like the communal aspect of it too. So if you forget something, there's thousands of people who will give you something. You know, they have the con suite there for folks who need a snack late at night. It's just, and most cons run throughout the day and they close up like at 6-7 o'clock. Even San Diego Comic-Con is done like 7-8 o'clock. But Dragon Con is almost a full breathing entity. It stays going 24 hours a day. The 4 or 5 days, it's going to be a week for a Dragon Con in a few years because everyone goes on Wednesday now.
Yeah. But, I've seen people arriving on Tuesdays now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So well, Tuesday's Mike, a new everybody Wednesday, knows yeah. Tuesday's the new Wednesday. Come on.
Tuesday is a new Wednesday. Yeah. But it's just it's everything you need in one con. And the parties, the people, you know, being able to talk to people about the fandoms and stuff you know. And there's no other place you can be like that. I've got friends that I've met at Dragon Con that I only get to see, you know, once a year that I would consider to be some of my closest and best friends on the planet. And it's so cool.
Awesome. Now, I've noticed through going through most of the pictures online, I've seen most of your costumes are Bat-related.
Absolutely, yeah.
You said you started with the Joker, though.
I did start with the Joker as my first official con, but my one of my first costumes that I did was for my 21st birthday party, and I got it was a generic Batman costume made by Ruby's, pieced together from eBay. Mm-hmm. All of my birthday parties as a kid were Batman themed. When the 89 Batman came out, that, you know, was it for me. I had every single action figure. I've probably got thousands of Batman comics. That's the character for me. I'm not a straight up DC comics person. I like Marvel too, but it's my favorite. And, sure. You know, it's being Batman requires lots of things, you know, the physicality of it. I like to work out and do that. And I'm not, I can't sew worth a lick. I've never tried that kind of stuff, but I can modify certain things. And I like that character is in some ways sort of simple, but let's say you get a utility belt, you can add pouches to it. And I can tinker with it as well without having to do, you know, 100%, you know, sculpting and molding and that kind of stuff, which is something I might get into here in the future. But, kids also love the character. It's just iconic to me. And if I can walk by and just simply just look down through the cowl at a kid and he smiles is a really great feeling for me. Even I've had, 80-year-old women give me that same smile, because maybe, it just reaches a vast audience. It's a character I identify with. And just to be straight up honest, when I'm in an awesome Batman costume, Batman's a fictional character, obviously, but I'd imagine that's what it feels like. It's just a great feeling to be, the Dark Knight, the Caped Crusader, the Dark Knight Detective is just awesome. It's a good feeling and it's just fun to do,
I can imagine. I mean, especially that's definitely one of the things that I wanted to get your perspective on, because we've definitely talked to other people who've cosplayed as superheroes, Superman, Wonder Woman and whatnot. And in some ways there's a, in addition to having be a fun thing to do, there's almost a level of responsibility when you take on those kind of costumes because of the perception, especially from children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not a smoker anyway, but I do occasionally have a sailor's mouth as far as cussing is concerned. but you can't let that happen at all. With most people, occasionally when I'm Batman and there's a child, I'll crack a smile, but for everyone else, I'm a happy-go-lucky sort of guy anyway in real life, but I hardly smile, because Batman is not a smiler. Superman, you can grin from ear to ear all day long. Joker, of course, but you got to be that tough, gruff character all the time, but I may have smiled maybe 3 times in the years I've, been the Batman character. But again, you can't cuss, that kind of thing. And a lot of folks now has used cosplay for charity reasons. And I've been to maybe 2 events, charity related, children's hospital events. And those are the most fun. Dragon Con and stuff is amazing time, to get away. It's like your vacation, but going to, charities and that kind of stuff, really is what, I'm thinking is elevating cosplay as a great, just genre of geekdom overall. And that's, you're seeing that more and more, and some of that, does transfer into Dragon Con, but you are right. Absolutely. Especially with Superman, that kind of thing, more talking roles, because it is costume, and you're playing the character the whole time. I've seen some people, as Jack Sparrow that have not, walked a straight line for days, they're staggering about and that kind of stuff. And you can kind of get away with more salty language and sort of flirtatious vibe and stuff, with that kind of character. But you're absolutely right. You have a responsibility, and I take that responsibility, to heart every time I put on the cowl.
Very cool. Is there a specific costume or style of Batman, because he's been around so long, so many different interpretations?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which ones do you sort of lean towards?
Anymore, with Dragon Con, people have really stepped up their costuming game and cosplay game. And I don't care if you're 1,000 pounds, you can be Batman. And some folks look down on you, but that's always going to be the way it is. And some, I've seen an 80-year-old man is the Adam West Batman. When I go,
that wasn't Adam West himself?
It could have been Adam West. If I missed the opportunity and that was Adam West, I'm going to kick myself 10 ways to Sunday. I always lean towards, as a kid, I lean towards the one shots, the one off, the Elseworlds. And when I do the Batman characters, certain utility belts go with certain chest symbols, go with certain colors of capes and cowls and all that stuff. And some people, they'll want to be Michael Keaton in 1989 Batman. Some people will want to be, Adam West, that kind of thing. I kind of like to mix and match with mine to make it fresh. One of the first years I went as the full Batman costume, I did like a battle damaged, and I never saw anyone else. I was like Batman with my butt kicked, had blood and holes in the costume and ripped up, that kind of thing, which kind of got a good reaction, because if you're in a sea, especially Batman, there's probably, 100 people maybe costuming as Batman in different variations. So it's sort of neat to sort of be, away from the pack a little bit to say, oh, hey, that's the Batman I saw two days ago, all beat up and stuff. Rather than, hey, it's another, Adam West Batman. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I like to sort of step, in a different variation as far as characters are concerned. And I really like to, in the future, do maybe a Red Rain, vampire Batman, or, a Batman from maybe you know, two issues or something like that. But I kind of like to gear my costuming, you know, for Elseworlds and sort of one-offs just to separate myself. And also, like, I'm in shape, dude, but like some people are in the gym, like, you know, 6 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week. And that also separates themselves from the different Batmans and costumers out there. But I don't have a particular style that I love and have to do, and I like to change it up from year to year, even though I know the same people aren't going to see me because there's like 50,000 people there. But I know, you know, that, you know, just like you don't want to wear the same shirt, you know, every single day. Some right. people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But
right now, do you participate also in the group photo shots?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something, there's a fellow named Alan Hansard. And when I first started, after that first year at Dragon Con, I sort of searched out some of the costuming forums and that kind of stuff. And the first thing I came, you know, found was the League of Heroes. But quickly after that, Alan started his own forum called the Superhero Costuming Forum, the SCF. And they, you know, really have brought the photo shoots to Dragon Con and that kind of thing. And I participated in a couple. And I'll tell you, the outcome is cool from a comic book fan standpoint to see the finished pictures of how awesome it looks. And it's a good feeling to say, hey, you know, I'm there with an awesome Superman. The whole Justice League is here, or, you know, a facet of the Justice League. You only seen a few issues and stuff. And they take the photo shoots very seriously, which is awesome. They're hard to do sometimes because it is like especially as Batman, you're baking in an oven in Atlanta on the hottest weekend of the year.
Right, outdoors.
They're always outside, and there's rarely, you know, and a lot of it is, all right, stand there and hold a pose for a minute or two and then take tons of shots and another pose, and it's sort of a little bit of tedious effort, but you know, in between shots, you're joking around and you're talking to different customers, like, hey, where'd you get that belt? Did you make this yourself? You're talking the lingo and that kind of stuff, but when the action happens and you're in the shots, you get that good feeling of, hey, this is going to be an epic photo, and it may be shared, you know, thousands of times over the internet, and they're fun to do, really fun to do. They're a little bit tedious, and if it was, you know, 20 degrees cooler, it's awesome too. But anymore, they're so big, so they have to be on the steps, so like the Hilton and that kind of stuff. But I'm really, really proud to be a member of the SCF, and, you know, they do some good charity work and stuff as well. But and now I see different, you know, fandoms, like, you know, there's bigger Harry Potter photo groups and, you know, bigger, you know, Battlestar Galactica, you know, photo shoots and that kind of stuff. And a lot of them are action poses and that kind of stuff, not just sort of like a graduation photo type bleacher look.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I think that the superheroes started that kind of thing. And you're going to see more and more as the years progress of photo shoots and that kind of thing. And I believe, especially this SCF, right when Dragon Con ends that Tuesday, they're already planning the shoots for next year.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
The costume. I don't doubt it. I mean, you can, as we are saying that we say quite often here, is it's never too soon to start
preparing for next year. It's never too soon. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Exactly. Because, like, when we do our show right after Dragon Con, we always tell cosplayers, you better start getting ready for next year.
Absolutely. And they do. They absolutely do. And, you know,
do you already know, like, what your outfits are going to be for this year?
Yeah, I actually do. I personally don't plan that early. And as most of those people too, that plan automatically for next year, they may be designers and that kind of stuff. And they may be the people sewing and crafting and that kind of stuff. And I'm not, and I tend to upgrade what I have already, but I do, branch out, maybe do a couple new costumes each year. I've never, done the Punisher. So it'll be, I don't know what version yet. But I plan to maybe make as much of that or modify as I can. And I'm debating on stepping over what I call the dark side, is actually maybe even doing a Superman cosplay this year for Dragon Con. Yeah, but I'm not 100% sold on it. I don't know, you know. It's just, it's got the same effect, and I do enjoy Superman as well, and I would sweat probably half as much as if I had that mask on. You know, the Batman mask. But we'll see. And then I actually probably maybe leaning towards Jane from Firefly. which is cool because I'm a big Firefly nerd as well. But comics is what's been dominating the years past. I mean, I've done Jack Sparrow as a pirate and some other different stuff, but I want to maybe do a couple away from the comic. I don't want to be pigeonholed into doing, you know, just comic books. There's a world of likes and stuff out there.
I've seen your pictures and such, and I think you'd make a great Jane.
I think so too. Absolutely. That's not me being fooling myself. I'm glad other people think that as well.
No, I think it would be a good fit. It'd just be fun to see how you would do the goatee.
Absolutely. I could rock it. We'll see. And then again, I might do a different version of Jane that, you know, the average person that does would not. But like Firefly, especially the coolest things, I saw the lady when she first did the whole Jane's hat, and that's what her whole outfit was, just Jane's hat.
Oh, that was amazing. We had her as one of our, pictures.
So cool. You know, and funny. When it comes down to it, I love wearing costumes, and I can't imagine myself going to Dragon Con without a costume. And a lot of my, you know, average friends like, that's crazy. But no, but even if I didn't, I would still be so floored by the variations and the skill level. And, you know, some people could just walk into Lowe's for 30 minutes and come out with enough stuff to do Optimus Prime and that kind of stuff. And just the know-how and the knowledge that goes into all these.
Exactly. It's also vision. So it's really
absolutely true. And so you know, I've got a couple things of my, you know, and I always do maybe a secret costume, you know, each year. And I think that's more and more people, when they plan next year, they'll do a Facebook album of all the future cosplays next year. And they're always like, well, we're doing a secret one, which they end up revealing like a month before Dragon Con. So it's not a secret once they get there. But
no. Who Adam Savage is at Dragon Con every year. That's the secret.
That's so cool, too. I love that Adam does that. That's so neat. I forget who he was last year, but I think it was the best one.
He was,
I think
Jack, it was Sparrow. I actually have a picture with him, yep. And I didn't even realize it was him.
Floored. Absolutely. That's so cool.
Now, obviously, costuming takes up a lot of time at Dragon Con. What else do you like to do besides just, you know, walk around and be in costume?
Sure. And like I said, the photo shoots being so tedious, I kind of like to do, if I am costuming, just sort of walk the floor. But I do enjoy... And I have my own YouTube page, so I enjoy maybe trying. I've not experimented, with great Dragon Con videos. So I like to take videos. As far as I do, some of the only downside to some of the costumers I know is they never go to a panel, which doesn't make sense to me. I like to enjoy Dragon Con as a whole, so I like to soak up as much as I can of the whole experience. I've never been to the wrestling on Friday, which I really want to go to. Yes, but I like the robots. Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure it's amazing. I mean, the pictures and stuff look phenomenal. I always loved wrestling as a kid, but I like to go do it all. You know, I'll stay up and I'll do a couple concerts. I like the when they do the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the Lips Down on Dixie, they do that. And, you know, I like the raves and all that stuff, and just pack in as much as I absolutely can. So I go to panels, hit the dealer room. I mean, of course, I've been collecting all my life, so seeing all the neat collectibles and stuff is cool for me. But I'll go to every single thing that I absolutely can, and then when there's enough time, I'll do costuming as well. So I'm probably in costume maybe 3 hours a day out of that, maybe more if there's a shoot, that kind of stuff. But I'm certainly not bouncing around from every single hotel, you know, for different shoots. I like to, you know, do it all.
Well, very cool. Ed, sort of to end, what piece of advice would you give for people? It's either their first Dragon Con or they're contemplating, you know, doing their first costume.
Cool. My best advice is when you go to Dragon Con, and everyone says this, you will be overwhelmed right when you get there, and know that. But for also remember, there is 30,000, 40,000 people who are just pretty much like you. There's always someone who will offer their advice. There's always someone who will show you around Dragon Con. It doesn't matter what skill level you think your costume is. If once you put that on, two things happen. If you smile, if you look in yourself in the mirror and you smile and you walk out and someone smiles or talks to you and says, hey, you know, you've done your job. You know, you can go out and make up, you know, an awesome Batman costume and then take it to your local Walmart and people look at you like you're crazy. But you can put on that costume at Dragon Con and people will come up and hug you and they will talk to you. And, you know, especially with folks who are maybe shy in their real life, they'll put that costume on and they're almost transformed into that other person or the person they really see on the inside and they'll make friends for life. And, you know, don't overthink it. People plan for this kind of stuff, you know, months in advance. But when the time comes, make sure you're having fun, you know. And, you know, if you miss a panel or two, that's okay. You won't be able to see it all. If you miss a photo shoot, that's fine. As long as when you're there, you've had the time of your life, which most people do, then, you know, go for it. And like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what your body type is. You know, you can be skinny and be Superman. You can be larger and you can be, you know, you can be a woman who is, you know, 5 foot tall, and you can be Wonder Woman. You know, don't let anyone change that about you. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Do what you want to do. Have a blast, and you will make friends for life, and, you know, also meet some awesome celebrities. And at Dragon Con, you know, they just walk around, and I've met, you know, several just hanging out at the bar. It's just the best, geekiest vacation. I've heard it, people call it nerdy graw, all this other stuff. Just know that, you know, you're an individual, but you're also a part of this large group, and you'll can't wait to go back the next time.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Yes.
Really appreciate it. Where can people, if they want to go online and check out some of your costume photos, is there a place online they can go?
Yeah, sure. They can. I have a Facebook page, and if they go to you know, youtube.com/ it sounds weird, but I hate YouTube for certain aspects. But it's actually youtube.com/smoothnoah has all my costuming videos. On Facebook, I have a page called Out of My Geek Mind, which is also has all my costuming stuff on it. And if you're interested too in costuming, I would definitely recommend the superhero costuming forum. Look them up. I also have a profile on there, and I'm going to work on a cosplay.com profile, but mostly Facebook. And you know, I'm always up for giving people advice. I take advice from the pros all the time. So just you know, Noah Drake Bell on Facebook.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, we'll see you Labor Day weekend.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Costumes ready. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Noah. It was great to have you on the station, and we look forward to seeing you Labor Day weekend in full bat costume. So that's going to be awesome. And with that, we draw to a close the premiere episode of the Earth Station 1 2014 Dragon Con Report. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to give a thanks again to Noah for joining us, as well as Kevin Batchelor. It was great to talk to him. And, of course, our crew, starting with you, Nikki. Thanks again for joining us on the first episode.
Thank you so much for having me again, and I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
And thank you again, Darren, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
And of course, we could not do this without the wonderful director and guest, Dragon Con guest himself, Mike Faber.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Wow. What am I going to say to close?
I don't know. It's none of my business.
This special report is sponsored by the ESO Amazon eStore, where you can find all sorts of cool geeky merchandise. Again, if you're ordering anything from Amazon, just go through the link on the ESO website. And again, it doesn't cost you a thing, and it helps us out a lot. And we really, really want to hear feedback. We want to hear from you in the Facebook groups, as well as you can send us an email at esopodcast@gmail.com. You can call our feedback line, 404-963-9057. Let us know what you want to hear about as far as Dragon Con, suggestions that you might want from us, or just something that we should cover, some interesting aspect of the convention that we haven't yet got to, because Lord knows it's so big, we can't cover it all. So we want to hear from you guys. So thanks a lot for joining us. We will have another report for you next month. And as always, it's been my pleasure. Peace.
Hey, I like that. That's a good ending for you, sir.
Oh, we're nothing if not consistently awkward.
Oh, are we ever? I
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.